All right, welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel in downtown Nashville. Chase McCabe off today, Dr. Crane with me. Let's get right to it. We wait all week for this guy because he's simply the best. Let's bring in ESPN's Tim Hasselbeck to join us. Tim, good afternoon, my man. How are we?
Doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I will tell you, I was in a chicken restaurant in Hattiesburg, Mississippi on Friday while my granddaughter played, and I'm watching you on ESPN, and I'm thinking, isn't life great? Tim Hasselbeck, my granddaughter, chicken. I mean, it was the best day, Tim.
I'm sure it made your year. I'm sure you needed to see me, I'm sure.
I told my granddaughter, I said, look, sweetheart, that's Tim Hasselbeck. She's like, that looks like grandpa. I'm like, no, stop it. Tim, let's start off with free agency yesterday. Let's start with something that probably not you think where I'm going to start. Mitchell Trubisky coming in as the backup. I love it. You've talked about being a coach on the field, knowing the system, and I think the Titans got that Mitchell Trubisky. Do you like that signing?
I do. I think, we've talked about, where they stand with Will Levis. It obviously gives them a bunch of flexibility there. You're not paying Trubisky. If you just look at the money, if they kept all three quarterbacks, the money that's being, spent at the quarterback position is certainly not a significant amount when you consider a rookie deal, or really two rookie deals, and then Trubisky in a backup role. So it gives you flexibility on, Will Levis and, the ability to trade him. If it also brings in, somebody that's worked with Brian Daboll and so is going to, have a knowledge of the offense, has been around the league enough and been a starter. So I think it makes a lot of sense. I think it was a good move, and I think, much like a lot of players that the Titans decided to sign, there was a history with, coaches, which usually is a good sign.
Tim Hasselbeck's on the line with us here on the Chase and McJoe Show. Tim, they let me out of the crate today. I get to ask a few questions here and there. Looking at the Titans' potential sign, well, going to be signing tomorrow, but Wandell Robinson, we just got done talking with Jim Wyatt, and I asked him, are the Titans, you think, done at that position? He kind of went to say no. They might still be a little active there. Where do you see, the fit of Wandell Robinson in this offense along with potential moves in the future?
Yeah, I would not think that they are, done addressing the position. Just because, I don't know that it would come across as a position of just, crazy strength, and I think they want to, put people around, the quarterback in order to have success. Now, I think Robinson's a really interesting player. We talked about him last week. He's small, and it's hard for guys to make it in the league if you're small. But at over, I think he had like nearly 140 targets a year ago, 90 catches, 90 plus catches. I think where he fits is he is a guy that's really good inside, really good, on throws around the line of scrimmage, good with the ball in his hands, and maybe just a little bit better than you would think that he would be playing outside, tracking a football, stuff like that. I think that when you sign a receiver like him, there's clearly a role. There's clearly, an area that, they would like him to major in. It's no different than Danny Amendola or Wes Welker or, some of these guys that play in the slot and just, gobble up, catches. But, you need 90 catches to go over 1,000 yards. So that would be one of the reasons I think that he'll be on the market for an outside receiver, for bigger receivers. But the fact that Brian Daboll so quickly in free agency wanted to add him after, just being with him, I think speaks to, what he thought of him as a player in his time in New York.
And then what do you think about Daniel Bellinger, another Giants guy coming with Brian Daboll to Nashville? It just seems like he fits his scheme and just the way, I guess, he'll be able to open up Wandell Robinson in the open field. Is that kind of the true assessment there?
Well, and I think, he's, 6'5", 255. He's going to be probably more, considered as an inline, blocking tight end.
Right.
but was, you know, what was, you know, more than serviceable in the passing game. And so, you know, I think what you have there is kind of a true tight end. And, you know, similar thing, those guys are hard to find. So when, you know, you have experience with somebody like that, that you feel like, look, he can put his hand on the ground, he can hold up in the run game, we certainly, you know, view him as adequate or better in the passing game. You know, I think guys like that, you know, you can see them latch on and, you know, end up playing for a long time when a coach, you know, kind of knows their skill set. So that's how I would see Bellinger.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us from ESPN here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Titans went after two cornerbacks, Alante Taylor and Cordell Flott. Tim, I really like the Flott signing because the Giants desperately wanted him back. And I guess Robert Saleh said, look, we're building something pretty cool down here in Nashville. I want you to be a part of this. They kind of took him away. I think he's a good corner, and I think that really says a lot about Robert Saleh's building here, Tim, in Nashville.
Yeah, and, you know, Flott's over 6 feet tall. You know, Taylor's 6 feet tall as well. I do think that there is a you know, there are certain coaches that really, really – you know, tend to like these corners that have length. And, you know, I think it's one of the reasons Tyreek Woolen, you know, from Seattle is one of those guys that, like, I think the market, you know, was going to be strong for him, which clearly it was. And Saleh fits that mold. I mean, there's a reason that, you know, when Saleh was in San Francisco, like, they went after Richard Sherman. And so, yeah, I think anytime there's like a clear identity and direction and you feel like, or at least it appears that you're executing on that, you know, with people that you know that your coaches have been around and it's happening quickly in free agency, that feels like a encouraging and good sign to me.
Tim, the Arizona Cardinals got re-signed James Conner and Tyler Allgeier from the Falcons. And, you know, they go at three, Titans at four. So they might not be drafting a running back there. With the Titans and these free agency moves, is that leaning towards maybe taking a Love because they didn't address certain parts of that? Or can you not read anything into free agency and what a team does?
No, I think you can read into free agency. Most of the time, the good teams, the puzzle pieces make sense. It's when free agency and the draft don't align that it seems crazy. I mean, think about the Falcons with Kirk Cousins, and then next thing you know, Penix. It's like, and they got a lot of heat for it, and it didn't work out. And so I do think that, look, the moves Arizona has made would make you think that, you know, running back would not be the direction. You know, re-signing James Conner is one thing. You know, the Allgeier signing because he's, you know, a little bit younger and all of that, that to me felt like, okay, you know, maybe you aren't going to be in the running back game. So I do think that it is a path to, you know, getting a sense of, you know, what a team might do in the draft. And, you know, I think that, like, when you look at, look at Pittsburgh. I don't think there was any question that they operated last year through the offseason. So through free agency and the draft, they operated as if Aaron Rodgers was going to be their quarterback, right?
Right.
And ultimately, that's what ended up happening. But I think it's because they knew that that was what was going to happen.
Tim, is this Titans – I know it's hard to kind of quantify and look at it right now, but is this Titans team better right now than it was in 25? I know they haven't played a game, but talent-wise.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say that. Look, you've added a proven wide receiver. You know, Robinson's a proven player and was going to generate, you know, plenty of interest. Bellinger – I think it's fair to say, you know, is like you signed your starting tight end. Jermaine Johnson is, he's proven to be a really, really good pass rusher. John Franklin Myers has been a proven pro. We just talked about, you know, the length at corner. So, I think that it's more than fair to say on paper, you know, it feels like the Titans have improved quickly in free agency. And I'll say, and maybe I shouldn't have been, but I think I was slightly surprised at how, you know, quickly they were moving to sign the guys that they did.
Gosh, I've never heard that before. Yep, you're right. All right, we'll take a break. Tim Hasselbeck is with us. We'll come back with more reaction to NFL free agency that's underway. We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel in downtown Nashville right here on 102.5 The Game.
Back here on Chase McJoe Show, 102.5 The Game. Great on here with Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, just a little bit more on the Titans here. They're roughly around $44 million left in the cap. Yesterday we were having the conversation, I think Joe brought up, about Trey Hendrickson. And I kind of disagree with him on this. Like, if the Titans were to pursue an edge rusher like that, it would kind of put them in the Super Bowl-esque conversation. Like, to me, I think if you go grab a guy like Trey Hendrickson, that's saying to the rest of your roster and franchise, we're going for it. I don't think he'd be, like, the right fit for the Titans, but say if they did grab him, what would be your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Hendrickson is a great player. And, you know, the fact that, you know, he hasn't signed with anyone, I think, is a little bit surprising to me, because I would have thought after the Crosby trade that kind of the edge rusher needy teams would have been quick to get something done. I mean, I could see the Colts being a team. I could see the Cowboys being a team. I think there are places that, you know, would be in the mix for him. So, I do think that, you know, Jermaine Johnson is, you know, probably the reason that they won't be in the Hendrickson mix. But right. I think he's going to end up somewhere making a team significantly better, as long as, you know, he doesn't have any injury situations, you know, like he did this past year. Because if you just take out this past year, I know that's a big if, but and you just look at, like, the previous 7 years, he basically has been as good as any pass rusher in the league over that stretch. And look, that's, you know, that's saying something when you're talking about guys like, you know, Watt or, you know, other guys that, you know, were double-digit sack players. That's who Hendrickson has been.
Yeah, and to add on to that, kind of already mentioning the rough cap that the Titans currently have is around $43.9 million, $44 million. Where else do you see the Titans kind of checking off the boxes when it comes to this roster construction before the draft?
Yeah, you know, I think, like we said, I think receiver, you know, can still be addressed, and there'll be, you know, kind of another wave of receivers that I think, you know, can be looked at. I do think, you know, offensive line is going to be something that I'm guessing at maybe multiple points in the draft, you know, get addressed. So that's what I would feel like in terms of the priorities. And then I would also say this. I do think that, you know, while we've seen teams make big splashes or been quick, you know, in free agency, and sometimes those things have worked out, other times, you know, they haven't. Every year there's also the, you know, I almost want to, like, characterize it as, you know, the Kyle Van Noy signing, you know, where it's, you know, it's late in free agency, maybe even into the summertime, you know, you sign a veteran player, it does not make huge waves, but then when you look at a team season, you're like, that guy has been as vital and critical to the team's success as anybody. And I think that, you know, I think that, you know, that's going to be the case for the Titans. That's going to be the case for other teams as well, in terms of, you know, signing a player late in the year that doesn't make the big splash but does have the big impact.
Tim, as a former NFL quarterback, I yesterday when Tyler Lindenbaum signed with the Raiders, people like, I can't believe you're paying a center that much to a young quarterback team. Tim, how valuable is a good center to a young quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge, because one of the biggest difference between the college game and the pro game, and we've talked about this, you know, over the years, is just what gets put on the quarterback from a mental perspective once you get to the pros. So there basically are no mental plays off when you get to the NFL. And that's in the run game and the passing game. It's just, you know, from a protection standpoint as well as a read and coverage standpoint. And so the more help that you can get from your center on those things, the better. Because sometimes you might get up there and get it wrong in the run game, but if you have a center that knows what they're doing, a lot of times they can help you, you know, a little bit of communication back from the center to get into the right play. That's a big deal. And so I think between that and then beyond it is just the leadership and the communication that happens from that position to the group, you know, for the quarterback is a big deal also. So I don't think it's an accident. I definitely think it's a plan. You know, we're talking about, you know, do free agent, you know, moves kind of give you a glimpse into, you know, the draft plan. I think for Las Vegas, that's definitely the case.
It happened this weekend. Max Crosby going to the Ravens for two draft choices that the Raiders get back in return. I like the deal for both sides, Tim, and obviously it benefits the Raiders. They get that capital, but the Ravens get a guy who's just a relentless pass rusher. What were your thoughts on that deal going down?
Yeah, I think I like it as well because if you're Baltimore, it's more about right now than you know, the future, which is why a proven 28-year-old pass rusher probably is better than a few first-round draft picks. What I would say is, you know, I do think it gives you a glimpse into the feel like you have to win now, you know, culture that you have in Baltimore. If you move on from a Super Bowl-winning coach, you make that move, I don't think that anyone is going to be okay with, you know, having Lamar Jackson and, you know, the coach and not having success. And so I do think that, you know, basically saying, look, we're not worried about future draft picks, not even in this year's draft, as much as we are about helping our team with a proven player. It just tells you, like, they know they need to win, because if they are not a playoff team, I think there'll be a lot of pressure early in Baltimore.
Oh, absolutely. Seattle not resigning Kenneth Walker. I know Zach Charbonnet's got the knee injury. Are they doing the same model, Tim, that the Patriots at Belichick keep a few core guys, let your other guys leave and go get monster contracts and just have faith in your scouting and your GM that you can find guys to replace? It seems like they're doing the same model that the Patriots did, which worked great for the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, look, at that position, you know, for sure, you know, that's what they're saying. And I think because the market of running backs, you know, kind of, you know, was what it was, I think they probably were like, and let me just back up a little bit, too. Look, there were a lot of people that felt like Charbonnet just was the better back throughout the year. So when that's the case, I think they look at, you know, the position and say, look, we don't need to chase a guy who, you know, got on a hot streak late in the year. And so if people want to jump out there and sign him, then fine. Now, I've been a little bit surprised at how the rest of the market has looked. Breece Hall trade, Isaiah Pacheco signing today, it looks like. Travis Etienne, who I was not surprised it was a market for him, but like, it just feels like the running back activity has gone much faster than I was anticipating it going. Now, look, there are going to be other running backs, right? Like there's, you know, Najee Harris is kind of in a unique situation. Joe Mixon, because of his foot, people may stay off him a little bit. But like Raheem Mostert's been a good back. You know, you guys remember Jeremy McNichols. He, you know, I don't think that he's completely done. Miles Sanders, you know, I think, you know, can certainly be a guy that helps, you know, a team's roster. So, you know, there are, you know, there are going to be other backs that are still out there. People feel like you can draft running backs. Guys will end up getting cut in camp because there's a younger, less expensive option. And so I can't say that I'm shocked that Seattle wasn't quick to bring back Kenneth Walker. So, and hey, look, it makes sense for Kansas City. They've neglected the position for too long, and they needed to get better production.
Yeah, absolutely. You're 100% right. Tim, looking at just the rest of the NFL, especially out west, Mike Evans signing with the 49ers. Joe and I were talking a bit about this in the first hour about, you know, local product Juwan Jennings. What does that do for his market? Does that increase his value or devalue him a little bit?
Well, you know, a place that you would think loved him, you know, I guess maybe not being sure that they would want to, you know, also pay him on top of paying Mike Evans. So I think it would be hard to argue that it's helpful to Jennings. Look, you know, we were talking about the Titans. I'd love to see the Titans in the Juwan Jennings mix. You talk about, you know, a player with, you know, a much bigger catch radius than the guy they just signed, guy that's been, you know, productive playing inside and outside. I'm a little surprised that, you know, he's not a first day of free agent signing, because of how good that he's been. So I would anticipate that his market is still going to be very strong. And I would say if I was, you know, kind of handicapping things going into free agency, I would have gotten, you know, I would have got the timing of how it was going to go down for him incorrect.
And then sticking with the wide receivers, it looks like New England has their wide receiver one in Romeo Doubs. According to Jordan Schultz, he said Doubs is signing a 3-year, $60 million deal with the Patriots. Then there was an updated number at 4 years, $70 million. Does that, I guess, mean A.J. Brown's off the table for Mike Vrabel?
Probably so. I would say, especially if, you know, the asking price, you know, from, you know, which has kind of been reported a little bit, you know, through Schefter, at least intimated. You know, I think when you look at, you know, some of the trades that have happened and, you know, the price tag, look, it basically was sounding like it's at least two firsts, you know, for Philadelphia to move on, you know, from A.J. Brown. And we just saw it with Crosby, but I think when you're talking about two first-round draft picks, I do think that, you know, you definitely have to have kind of things align correctly in terms of a team that really needs to just pay the price and know that they're paying the price and being aggressive for now rather than having an eye to the future. But, look, when you talk about A.J. Brown, I'll go back to, you know, Jennings. Like, how about Jennings, you know, potentially, you know, in New England? Or like, I do think there are other guys. Another player that I think is a very good player that I think could be in the mix in Tennessee or elsewhere is Darnell Mooney, you know, from Atlanta. I think that the quarterback playing in Atlanta has kind of, you know, stunted some of his opportunities. He's just 28 years old. You know, he's a player that I think that, you know, I'm surprised there's not a, you know, a better market for. So, I feel like there are some pretty good wide receivers still out there. And then by most accounts, you know, pretty strong receiver class in terms of the draft. So I think we're going to see a number of teams make some moves on the wide receiver position.
Tim, Tua landing in Atlanta. Do you like that move? And what does that say about their confidence of Michael Penix Jr.?
I mean, I don't like the move. I feel like, to me, it overstates their confidence in Penix because Tua really has not been great. When you just look at what the market might be for some of these other guys, like, look, what happens, you know, Murray, Daniel Jones, you know, you saw Geno Smith move. I think all of those guys I would prefer over Tua. The price tag on those other guys is not crazy. So I don't think, I don't love it. I really don't. And, you know, both guys have a bad injury history. I'm quite frankly really surprised that that happened as quickly as it did. And I don't know that it's a good thing.
I like your opinion. Before we go, Tim, our question of the day is, have you been in a driverless car and what was your experience like?
Yes, in Phoenix, I was in a Waymo. And I was generally fine with it. But then the next day, somebody told me that they were in Phoenix going to the Phoenix airport, and the Waymo was taking them to the airport, and then there was some type of glitch that it just kept circling the airport, and they weren't able to get out, and they missed their flight. So, I don't know. my experience was good. This other person's not so much.
Yeah, that's our discussion. No, yeah. It's about 90%.
Do you have feelings about it, Joe? I feel like there's some feelings about.
I haven't been in it, but our text on these is about 90% negative. Like you talk about.
Really?
Like,
why? Why?
Just the experience. It gets stuck in traffic. It won't merge. Other cars honk at it. It slows down. It's just not. It's just different.
And Hollywood stops at a red light. Like, that's a problem, Tim.
Well, and I would tell you. See, what I like is I don't have to talk to anybody when I'm in something. Like, I'm not one of those guys that, like on when in an Uber, like, I select a thing, like, I'm not looking for a conversation. So, like, I'm good on, like, the driverless thing because I don't know I'm going to have to talk to anybody. Now, the uneasiness of, like, what do? Would you call, like, customer support? Like, and if it's not stopping, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just too old. I got to figure that out.
Well, I'm with you. That was the thing that somebody said that one of them got a ticket and a cop walked up to the driverless car and rolled the window down and they called tech support and then the cop had to write a ticket to the company. It's just all weird.
What happens to the driving record?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. And this is actually leading me to the thing. I don't know if you've seen this little video out there. It's ironically an AI created video, but it basically is like, are we really making progress? And it has all these kids talking about life in the 90s, right? Like,
yeah.
And have you seen it?
I have not.
All right. When we hang up, I'm going to send it to you. You can point your listeners to it. It's really amazing. It's really basically questioning all this technology that's supposed to be moving us forward. Like, is it really moving us forward? Are we really progressing? Driverless cars might fit in that mix.
I love it. All right. Appreciate it. Yes. Send me that, Tim. As always, man, we appreciate you. We loved our time with you. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. See you, fellas.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN, on board.
Yes.
Talking about the driverless. That's why we love Tim, man. That's good.
Man of the people.
Man of the people.